Welcome to Spirit Healer, a Hearthstone Mercenaries podcast. Your resting point between quests. Let's join our hosts as we talk about this week's events in Hearthstone Mercenaries.
Welcome to Spirit Healer, a Hearthstone Mercenaries podcast, a podcast focused on taking you through Mercenaries news, updates, and weekly topics to keep you at the top of your Mercenaries game. I'm Dragon Rider, joined as always by my fellow hosts, Cinder and Simba. How are you two doing today?
Well, I'm good. I'm doing great. It is a great day in the middle of Kansas. It was a little bit chilly this morning, but everything's evened out. Went to the store, played some Mercenaries. Excited to be here.
Yeah. Oh man, this fall weather is finally kicking in, and I'm here for it, and I'm living for it. Yeah.
Yes, me too. It is. We are recording this a little bit later than we normally do in the week. I was sick earlier in the week, so thank you to the two of you for still working out a time to do this. I've got my spider and bat socks on, you know, because it's like Halloween weekend. So, spooky. You know, tomorrow's pumpkin socks, and that's about as festive as I am, and that's okay.
Yeah. We used to do Halloween stuff, but some of the shit butts in our neighborhood stole our decorations, so we said, all right, fine, no more candy.
Boo.
But the other kind of boo, the bad kind of boo.
Yeah, the bad kind of boo. Oh, yes. Well, there has been, you know, one thing that I will say that is a benefit that we recorded a little bit later this week is we have even more things to talk about and cover this week. So lots of things that have changed and updated over the week since we last recorded, and some new stuff being announced. So let's go through that and talk about it. I think kind of just all of these adjustments and changes and the new stuff coming out in the next week is kind of going to be our main topic. So let's go ahead and jump in. And after each one, if you guys want to say something, you know, just let me know. But let's start the first thing that happened, which feels like old news at this point, but they adjusted the appearance array of Mysterious Stranger to be based on the relative level of the strongest mercenary in your party compared to the suggested level of the bounty. So before, right, we were all like, just repeatedly doing like air elemental and all that in like the easiest thing. Well, they changed that, so you can't really do that anymore. But now I've just seen people doing a lot of like normal Fellwood Bane Hollow, which is AKA the sixth bounty. Even the fifth or sixth one. I've been trying it some on heroic, just because I've also been working on leveling my mercenaries, and you get a little bit more XP doing it on heroic than you do on normal. But what do you two think of this change? Did you like it, not like it? How's it felt?
Kind of indifferent, honestly. I mean, yeah. There was not a huge change. I mean, the air elemental thing was cool. I understand why they nerfed that, right? You want to give people a reason to play the harder levels. Changing it to be relative to the strongest mercenary in your party isn't a terrible thing at this point, because even if you don't have 3, 4, 5, you know, groups of maxed out mercenaries, you probably have at least one at level 30, I would say. And so that's not terrible, because as long as you have one level, you know, 25, 30 mercenary in your party, then that's all good. Definitely would recommend the Fellwood bounties. I think I'm doing the fifth on normal, just because you can back out if the path is too long to the potential Mysterious Stranger. I've taken some notes on that. I actually put something in a YouTube video that I'm putting together on grinding tasks. But I do agree with, if you're going for tasks and XP, that doing the heroic stuff is better. But I wasn't worried about XP at all. I just wanted to get the tasks, and I do XP in harder levels anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of same for me. It's really... And hi, Cole. Thanks for butting in the conversation. that's my Staffordshire Terrier behind me whining at the window. But yeah, it was more or less indifferent for me, because I mean, once you have like I have the Zyrelia in Samuro leveled at 30, and like if you just pair them with any protector, like they can pretty much power through any bounty. It's so I mean, the difference between doing a level 6 bounty and a level 29 bounty is nothing. It's just, maybe 5 more minutes that you have to spend on it, which I guess if you're grinding out dozens of these things over and over, then yeah, the extra time spent can be a pain in the butt. But for me, like, I wasn't really like max grinding yet, like some people have been. So the change hadn't really affected me that much. The effort is negligible. I just target the first one dude with holy spell, target Samuro, same person with the double attack thing, and bam, 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 power through the thing. Doesn't really matter what level it is. So yeah, I think that really ended up paling in comparison to some of the clapback that they got for the stuff in the following couple of changes.
Yeah. I understand they're wanting people to not just, hey, let's take some strong stuff and go beat up on the low stuff and just repeatedly get that and, like, unlock task 7 for like 10 characters and, in 2 hours or whatever. But I was a little sad, but I'm glad that there's kind of another zone that people can grind. And, I found, kind of like Simba was saying, that for me, if I'm specifically looking for the tasks, I will actually just retire the run until I see a path that's like only 2 fights. Because some of it, you might get 1 fight, the very first fight, and then it's like spirit healer, boon, spirit healer, 1 more fight, and then the potential, mysterious stranger. So it's like, okay, cool. I just have to do 2 fights and I can climb all the way up there. If it's like 4 fights or something, I'm like, nope, retire. But it's still pretty quick to just be able to grind it if you're looking specifically just for tasks. So it doesn't feel as bad. And I still feel like that's rewarding enough of a grind that it's like, okay, it's fine that the other one's gone. So, okay, let's talk about the next thing. And actually, this one's kind of in 2 parts. So on Tuesday, the 26th, October 26th, they changed PvP a little bit. So the wins, they had changed it. So wins will only count towards Fighting Pit daily rewards if you defeat 3 or more enemy mercenaries. This change will not affect how MMR is calculated after a win, regardless of how many enemies were defeated. And then there, I think this might be one of those that Cinder was alluding to with the kind of big blowback here. But then Thursday, the 28th, they then kind of redacted that a little bit, and then they dropped it to only requiring 1 mercenary. But I think the big thing there was people were kind of just win trading, essentially. They were really exploiting it, right? They were just dropping down, conceding, doing all sorts of stuff, and really just manipulating and exploiting the system. And so then they changed it so that you wouldn't get the Fighting Pit dailies. But one thing that I also noticed is that it affected your experience too, because if people conceded too early before you killed the 3 mercenaries, your mercenaries that you're trying to level up or whatever weren't even getting experience. So like, you weren't getting experience, you weren't getting a credit towards a win for the Fighting Pit reward. And it's like, okay, great. I like the adjustment down from 3 to 1, but we'll see how it goes. They're monitoring it. But what did you guys think of this? Does this really affect you at all? Have you been playing a lot of PvP?
I didn't notice the change. Honestly, if you hadn't told me just now this change, wouldn't have known it happened. I was focusing this past week mostly on the heroic side of bounties, but even so, like, that being said, if I'm going into PvP, I want to actually play the PvP. Like, I don't want people to concede. And if people concede, the queue times, now that everybody has a few mercenaries that are leveled up enough to go into PvP, not terrible. So it's not like someone's forfeiting, I'm getting 0 XP, I'm getting nothing towards my bounties, and then I also have to wait another 2.5 minutes in the queue. Like, that's not happening to me when I do go in. So I think that if this change helps balance things out and get rid of potential win trades or cheating, then this is fine, especially with the 1 mercenary. Like, I wouldn't have even minded the 3 mercenaries, but if 1 mercenary is the way to go, I think this is a fantastic change to make sure we're all getting experience and keeping the cheating and stuff out of the game mode.
Yeah, because what had happened was amongst the people that were, we're in, kind of in that pocket of the MMR ladder, where the win trading was going on. What was happening was, as soon as this change went in, there were people kind of almost trolling where they would wait until they had two mercenaries dead and then concede so that the person didn't get anything. You know, yeah. And it's such a garbage move, and I think Blizzard saw that pretty quickly. We're like, yeah, that was probably an overreaction. Let's not get down to just the one mercenary, so that you can't just queue up, concede the game real quick, and then, you know, win trade back and forth to get all your stuff done. So yeah, I think it seems fine. That seems to have appeased the PvP people. So far so good. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I think the one seems reasonable, right? Because, like, if they're just auto-conceding, then it's like, okay, well, does that even really feel like a win? You're not actually even doing anything. So killing one thing, you're like, all right, yeah, like, I killed something. I win. All right. Then they concede, and you're like, okay, cool. I still get some rewards. Like, I still get something. I feel like I did something instead of just conceding. So a couple interesting things now. Let's talk about in the live known bugs, you know, patch kind of now I lost the word, whatever, the like blog posts where they track all of these changes, all of the patch notes and hot fixes,
right?
They did state, which is also very interesting, and it's kind of been talked about on Twitter some, they stated a bigger mercenaries communication update that we have planned for next week, which should be the first week of November, from when that was posted. So this coming week, it sounds like there's going to be a big communication thing. I'm really hoping they talk about some stuff. And part of that also, I saw Deck Tech was really like replying to a lot of people on Twitter, and basically saying that, well, first he stated that the Mercenaries PvP season will not be rolling over at the start of November like we're used to with Standard. More would be communicated in that communication update that's coming next week. So I'm curious how much they're going to say. Like, obviously, they're going to talk a little bit about, like, the PvP season rollover stuff. Maybe they're going to talk about plans they have with, like, our one of our next topics, you know, with a lot of issues that people have been having. I don't know. I'm hoping that it is a very big communication, that they cover a lot of things, but I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I'm also not sure how, like, I'm kind of indifferent myself on the PvP season reset thing. I'm like, okay. Like, if it resets, cool, I'll just climb back up. If it doesn't, cool, maybe I can try to climb to the 7,500 chest instead. But, like, I think for me, I'm like, I don't really care about that at this point. I'm still focused on leveling and trying to get equipment and stuff for mercenaries.
I prefer it this way, honestly, for a couple reasons. I think it's would be good to reset like they do Battlegrounds, where it does not happen every month, but it sort of happens like every expansion. Couple reasons. One, it's been out for 2 weeks now, and we already have mention of new mercenaries, which I assume we're going to talk about later in the podcast. And if stuff keeps coming out that fast, which I assume it won't, I'm not going to want my PvP personally to just keep resetting, because people that are way high up there in like the 10Ks, 9Ks, 8Ks, they're going to have not only all the old mercenaries leveled up, but the new mercenaries leveled up. And as a player, not me specifically, but if I don't have everything or I don't have the new mercenaries, running into those low on ladder that are fully max level, then I have nothing, you know, to fight against them with, essentially, that would suck. Second reason is there's no stars like in Standard. I think that's the biggest reason why it works okay in Standard. Granted, that's happened since the beginning, that it resets every month, but like getting bonus stars for how high you are on ladder to get you out of the lower ranks so that new players can have that good new player experience is one of the best things about Hearthstone, any mode that they've ever done in general. Just my personal opinion on that. So since there's no stars, or really, I guess, way to boost MMR, I wouldn't do that. Now, I know that they do sometimes a thing where if you start at zero, you know, your wins get like 300 MMR at the beginning till you hit like 4K. Okay, cool. But everyone's getting the 300, whether you were 10K or 2K, till you hit 4K. And so I think that not resetting it and just letting everyone kind of play at where they're at right now for a longer amount of time is really nice.
Yeah, it's I mean, I haven't dug into the PvP as much yet. You know, I'm kind of taking a good pace, a modest pace at leveling everything. So I haven't really jumped in quite yet. But coming from other competitive environments, like this kind of reminds me a little bit of chess, right? Because with chess, there's no reset. Like Magnus Carlsen hit 2800 Elo rating, and that's just where he lives. You know, he's there until it decays or until, you know, he starts losing matches and it comes down. And having that permanency in a competitive system allows you to have that steady progression over time that you can't get if you're resetting every month. Because then it's like, when you reset a system every month, it becomes a sprint. Everyone starts over and then you race to the top. When you don't reset something, it becomes a true ladder system where, you know, your success is gauged over, you know, over a longer, you know, technically infinite period of time. So we don't know how long they're going to wait till they do any kind of reset. Maybe they never do a reset, or maybe they just introduce some kind of decay into a rating system, which actually would be good. But yeah, I think having a longer view on it for exactly the reason Simba's saying, like there's no star progression in mercenaries. It's, you know, you have the MMR rating and that's it. So there's no reason to reset just yet. So, again, like Simba said, it's like, it's only been 2 weeks. Like we still need to have, you know, the majority of the player base actually complete, you know, and some teams and get their mercenaries max leveled, get at least, you know, one group of six together, which I would venture to bet that the vast majority of people playing mercenaries have not done that yet. So until the player base en masse actually gets to a point where they can move into the fighting pit, I think Blizzard's going to be content to kind of experiment with the fighting pit and how that functions until they start putting in, you know, it'll be a while before they start putting in some more permanent solutions to the ladder.
You know, okay. I you both made some absolute great points, and it made me think of a lot of different stuff. There feels like so much to unpack here with this, which is like, okay, one thing that you both made me think about was, yeah, like ladder, if you're looking at like constructed, that whole sprint thing, like before they implemented the star system like Simba's talking about, that's exactly what it was, right? Everybody reset to the same point and it's just a sprint. Who can get there first? I mean, even now people are like, oh, one day legend. But then it's like, okay, well, you have the 10 or 11 stars. So, you know, you're going to get there a little bit faster generally. Maybe not always, but, you know, you would probably anticipate that the people that are at that point would get to legend a little bit faster, but they're facing off against other people who have that 10 and 11 star. It's not like they're just paired against anybody, you know, any random Joe Schmo that just signed onto their phone while they're on the toilet for one game, you know, like they're playing on, you know, at that certain level. Okay, maybe somebody at 10 or 11 star just signed on for one game while they're on the toilet. I don't know. Okay, I see your face over there, Cinder. I'm just giving a scenario.
Kids, don't play with your phone on the toilet, kids. It's not healthy. Just don't do it. I know it's tempting. Read a book instead. Even that's gross, but just don't do your phone in the bathroom.
Oh, yes. But, you know, it's like before they implemented the star system, that's what it was, right? And I think that it would become that. If once they just reset, and I almost feel like even the Battlegrounds system is like that now. Every time the Battlegrounds does reset, then it's just like, okay, let's climb as fast as we can and get back and you know, be the first to this rating and see if we can get on the leaderboard. And, you know, and that's fine. It's just that that's the way that it is. And, you know, yeah, with I can't believe that it's only been out for like 2 weeks. It feels like so much longer than that for me. But, you know, one thing that I thought about recently, and I think I said this during one of my streams, but I am very, very surprised that we had Battlegrounds for, what, a year and a half in beta before it became, like, a regular mode, and then they just released Mercenaries as is without being in beta, and I really, really think that it would benefit from being in a beta right now with things like these mysterious stranger adjustments they're doing and just adjusting things. And I think people would even be a little bit more willing or okay with some of these changes and some of the adjustments, you know, as they were to come in, if it were also in beta. But it's not. Like, they just kind of released it and was like, here's this mode. Oh, we're adding this stuff here. Buy these packs. Oh, we're adding new stuff that you can only get from packs, which, again, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But, you know, they're kind of they threw everything all out at once. And then now all of a sudden it's like, how is this rating thing now going to work too on top of that? And like, it just feels like it all came at once, maybe slightly rushed. And I feel like it would just actually benefit from being in a beta mode right now while they're getting these kinks worked out. But that's not what we have. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, that is, it's not a beta mode necessarily, but this is growing pains, right? This is, you know, the game has hit the general public. And if I've learned anything from game development, is that as soon as a game hits the general public, they're going to break it. Like, it's not going to take them long to find something to mess with that you did not think about. None of your playtesters came across, you know? So, but the good thing is it's actually a good thing that we're seeing so many changes and so many adjustments, because it means that Team 5 is actually paying attention and they're like, okay, well, let's try to create the ideal environment that we envisioned when we made the game. But, you know, fix these problems that came up that we didn't foresee. So I think it's important to keep that in mind, that like, some people are already burned out on Mercenaries, which like blows my mind. Like, maybe you hit it a little too hard when it came out. But like, if you have enough patience to not get burned out now and give Team 5 some time to refine the systems and really develop the environment that they want, then I think we're going to be rewarded for that. So, you know, play the game for what it is now, and then let's see. Like, DeckTech said they're going to come out with, you know, some more communication tools next week. No idea what that means, but at least it tells us that they're trying to, you know, to wrap up the community into the development process, which is a good thing.
100%. All right. So that's kind of all the adjustment or changes things that we've really kind of seen. Now, let's talk about this week. We had the patch 21.6 announcement, you know, covering all of, like, the mini set. I mean, a bunch of changes for, like, what, 5 of the game modes or something? That feels crazy to say on its own. I'll just say that. 5 different game modes. And that's not even all of them. But coming out November 2nd, Tuesday, November 2nd, and we will be getting 5 new mercenaries and a potential new synergy with pirates. So we have Edwin Defias Kingpin, a legendary fighter, or green, legendary green. Sneed, an epic protector, or epic red. Eudora, an epic fighter, so another green. Mr. Smite, a rare protector, a rare red. And Cookie the Cook, which is a Murloc, by the way, for I don't know, it does have the Murloc tag, a rare caster. Yes, there we go. We got a Murloc. He's adorable with his little chef's hat. It's awesome. But he is a rare caster. So he's the only caster coming out, the only, you know, blue coming out for this. I'm kind of excited for some new mercenaries. I don't know. Are you guys excited for the mercenaries? We're going to let Simba, like, take this in just a minute. But I just want, like, quick, brief. Are you excited to see some new stuff? What do you think of pirate synergy?
Yes.
New stuff's always good. New stuff's always good. Pirate synergy, I think the more different kinds of synergy you have, the better. Because I don't like stale metagames. And there will always be a metagame in every game, whether it's FPS, cards, like, it doesn't matter. There's always going to be a meta. But the more options you have, I believe, gives you more options for cool, fun, crazy off meta stuff, right? Because just because they're pirates, you still might be able to synergize with, like, fire attacks or nature attacks. I didn't look at any of their, you know, toolkits, so I don't know what they're running. But the more that we have, the cooler stuff that we, you know, that you'll find. And then, of course, you'll have people playing the super strong top tier ladder stuff, and like, that's content people want. But there's also going to be, you know, the crazy builds, and I feel like that's also, it might be a different group, but like, that's also content that people want, you know?
Yes.
And I did kind of peek under the hood on those new mercs. Edwin looks a little nutters. Like his speed control stuff is just like, it's so good. And then Cookie too, like the Murloc cards already have pretty banging synergy with each other, and he's Cookie just wraps right into that. So like if you're into a Murloc build, yeah, Cookie is gonna slot right into that team, and yeah, it's gonna be a good time,
which will hopefully make Murlocs, god damn it, hopefully make Murlocs not trash, because they are very synergistic, but they're also garbage right now. Like, would not recommend leveling them at all as they stand if you're planning on using them in PvP. Just personal, that's what I've seen, that's what I play against. I literally ran into a Murloc comp in PvP around 4,000. I killed one Murloc in two hits with Samuro, and they conceded. Like, it's so bad right now. Murlocs are not PvP capable, so, like, let's go. Like, let's bring the Murlocs in, see if we can get something going.
You know, I feel like that's just Murlocs across every mode in Hearthstone's history, right? It's like, you can't really just play, like, one or two Murlocs. Like, it has to be, like, all the Murlocs or nothing, because they're so bad on their own. But then when you get them together, it's like, oh, what am I up against? This is scary. But then on their own, it's like, okay, well, cool. There's that little dead fish now. Sure.
And that's so evocative of, you know, the World of Warcraft days, because that's what it was like. You're like, okay, cool. I'm just in this little level 20 leveling area. Oh, there's just one Murloc. He's not bad. Oh, look, here comes his friend. Okay, I can handle two Murlocs. Okay, here comes five of his friends. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And I'm dead. Where's the spirit healer?
Exactly. Yes. So it'll be interesting. I hope that we all can hopefully find some of these mercenaries to play and test out and see how they do. But the big but here that we get to in this mm-hmm. part of our conversation, because this is where things
Who's got the big
get...
butt?
Heyo.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's a hot topic, but I think we kind of have come to the consensus. We really would like Simba to take the lead on this. Simba was kind of sharing some of his thoughts beforehand with us in our Twitter discussion. So let's hear from you first, Simba. Let it all out. Tell us your thoughts. What do you think of, like, finding these mercenaries in packs? What is this all about? How is this gonna look? How do you feel about this?
I have so many feelings. I'm overwhelmed. So, if we're talking about finding mercenaries in packs, I kind of wish that you had to find all the mercenaries before you started finding portraits, because I don't like having one mercenary with four portraits and not having some of the mercenaries still. I personally, like, I absolutely hate that. And, like, I get it. You know, you want the cosmetics to also come in the packs. And when I say I get it, what I really mean is I don't get it at all, because that's not how cosmetic works in standard. I'm so, you know what I mean? Like, I have probably 5-6 standard Warlock skins. I didn't get any of those in packs. The only thing I get in my standard packs is things that I can actually use in game. And like, I guess on another note, you know, they finally put in like duplication protection. So you're not going to get a legendary and then, you know, 10 packs down the road get the same legendary, because you can't, you know, disenchant that for an equal amount of dust. And so, like, that protection, another one that's probably like the second greatest thing that Hearthstone has added. But, like, yeah, I don't need four Blink Fox skins. I need the rest of the mercenaries. Like, that's personally what I need. I don't know if you guys agree or disagree with that.
I mean, you only need the cute
totally.
Ones.
I mean, I opened a pack the other day, and I saw the legendary glow around a card, and I'm like, sweet, a new legendary. And it was a rag skin. I'm like, I already have Ragnaros. I don't need Ragnaros a second time. That's not cool. That, no thanks.
Yeah.
And then you can't trade those skins. Like, that's not a thing you can do, right? You can't trade legendary rag skin for a Malfurion or a Jiraxxus. And I don't think that you should be able to. I don't want it to sound like I'm saying you should be able to trade skins for full mercenaries. But, like, if I'm going to... I still need mercenaries. That's my main point here. I don't have them all yet.
Right.
And not having them all makes it hard for me to, you know, because there's only so many ways that you can get packs in game. And it's not like they're null and void, you know, there's zero packs, you know, but you have to get fairly far onto your, you know, quest tracks, your bounty tracks, in order to get packs. And like, that's all fine and dandy, but now we've already had Mysterious Stranger nerfs, right? So unless you're trying to wait for task number 7 to come through and in your dailies, which is probably not going to be happening based on however many mercenaries you have. Because how far do the tracks go? 18?
Yep, 18 for each mercenary.
And like, that's awesome as far as content goes. It gives you a long track of stuff to complete with a lot of rewards. But you have to find them, right? And so like, and you can't choose which ones you get in your dailies. I don't know that you should be able to, because that you know, that doesn't make any sense. But you also can't trade them. You have to just get rid of them and then go find more in the Mysterious Stranger. I cry every time. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'll open up my dailies and I'll be like, this one's level 1, this one's level 1, this one I'm never using, this one's for a Murloc, and I'm just gonna get rid of all these and we're gonna go back with my main comp, I guess.
Yeah. And it's Hearthstone kind of it had it right as far as, you know, exchanging stuff that you have. Like, you have duplicates, cool, dust it. You can use it to make more stuff. You know, and it wasn't terribly efficient, but it allowed the game to be accessible. Like, if you're a person who pursues your collection aggressively, then you were going to build up duplicates and be able to dust things and make more cards. Or, you know, let's say you were a lapsed player and you're coming back. Well, your cards are now out of rotation. Well, you can dust, you know, the expensive stuff and the gold cards and be able to get a pretty good refund on dust and build some cards that are in current in the standard environment. Mercenaries, that's not a thing. And it probably needs to be. There probably needs to be some way for people to leverage their collections to access new card content. Because as we saw, this was I saw this on Twitter. Capilano had posted, like, he has literally a full collection of everything. And if he wants the new mercenaries, the only thing he can do is buy packs. And we all know that buying packs is not terribly good for finding mercenaries. And then he might get a duplicate, you know, for a skin or something, which is like, how is he supposed to get 5 new mercenary cards out of packs? Like, the pull rate is going to be pretty low if considering there's no duplicate protection.
Yep. I think that. Oh, so first off, I saw that collection of fully maxed out mercenaries, and that was sick. Like, it was really cool to see someone have grinded that out, have a full set, everything maxed out. Like, that's awesome. He has so many combos. Then to your point, right? Like, no duplicate protection. Like, I should be, if I'm buying packs, I shouldn't be worried about buying 50 packs and pulling the same legendary mercenary, 4 times. Because, like, that is a rational fear at this point. You can go through all those packs and get Edwin skin. And like, I'd probably cry.
and part of the problem too is because everything is maxed, the coins are useless. He can't convert those into another kind of currency. They're just going to stack up in his collection and he'll never use the coins. So 4 of the 5 pulls out of every pack is going to be coins, which have zero value to someone with a maxed collection. And then the card, if there is a card, might just be a portrait, which is not helpful, you know, for accessing the new content.
Yeah, the individual coin system by mercenary is probably, I won't even say good or bad. I can't wrap my mind around it in a way to constructively, like, respond to that idea in a negative or positive way. I don't understand it, right? Like, if it was like, oh, there's epic coins, legendary coins, and rare coins. Like, that would make sense to me, right? Because then, like, I saw on, I think it was, you said the Cipriano's post? Yeah, the Capilano, image, yeah. Cipriano, was of Ragnaros. And I think it was not only fully maxed, but there was like 1,000 coins, I believe. I could be incorrect. But if you have a fully maxed mercenary with 1,000 coins, and Rag's a legendary, that's potentially, if those were just legendary coins, that's 2 legendaries you could make. Like, 2 full actual mercenaries.
even if there was an exchange rate of some kind, like, you know, maybe it's, you know, 4-1, like in Hearthstone, at least you could take those 1,000 coins, turn them into 200 coins of something else, and progress another mercenary that you have, or save up for a Lego. I think that would be helpful for people who, for really for anybody who's playing Mercs and has any one or two or five or 10 or, you know, all maxed out mercenaries. Like, those coins, they have a cap value. Like, it, once they get to a certain point, they're literally worthless. So yeah, being able to convert those into something else would allow people to retain the value that they're spending time and money on, you know, a lot of time. Those coins represent a tremendous amount of time for a lot of people, you know.
Yeah. And this is one of the big things that I really hope they cover and talk about in that communication thing that's supposedly coming out next week, because I think even addressing this topic, maybe saying what they have planned, or, you know, thinking about what they'd like to do in the future, or something, addressing it will be very helpful, because at least we can be like, oh, okay, like, we see what's going to happen in the future. Because maybe they will add something in the future where maybe they bump up the levels of mercenaries or something, you know, I don't know. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, cool, these coins that now I have, I can bump, you know, up, you know, this new equipment piece, or I can level something on this merc. Maybe they do transfer, maybe they start converting, maybe they do something else. But like, just to have that communication, I think, would be very, very helpful at this point, so we know, like, why are we doing this for all of these coins that are just gonna sit there being pointless? Like, why do we want this? What are we gonna do with it? What's gonna happen, you know? Because yeah, right now there's very few players that are at that point of having everything maxed, or even everything at level 30, you know, or whatever. But as time goes on, granted, depending on how many mercs they start adding, like, we're already getting new five. I think you're right, Simba. I don't think they're going to add them that frequently. It's probably going to be once or twice every expansion cycle we'll get a couple new mercs. But it just feels really fast right now since it just came out. But yeah, like, I do hope that we get some sort of information related to this, because right now it feels like we're all just kind of getting stabbed in the back. Like, you know, buy these packs, or here's this and you can't use it. Or once you get to that point, like, it's all useless. Like, okay, well, what do I have to look forward to? Or what am I doing in the meantime? You know, if I'm not playing PvP, you know, I don't know. Like, it just seems like there's a lot of players that are really struggling understanding where to go next, or what the purpose, the goal is. And I hope we just get that communicated.
You know, and while we're just talking about filling out the collections, can we bring up the frankly slightly ludicrous pricing on some of the stuff that's in the store? Like, I logged on and I saw Gul'dan, just like, you can just buy Gul'dan, but how much? I already forgot how much it was. Was it like 10?
Listen, 15? I have it written down. 15? I have the whole thing written as 15. Yeah, I was, yep, 15.
Like, what?
Yeah, 15 card, US dollars bucks for one mercenary. Not even coins. For
one legendary. That's, yep. Oh my gosh. I wouldn't say so much time on this, but so I was looking. Okay, so my personal valuation of a coin is a penny. Right, I'm talking about coins, yeah, just in Hearthstone in general. I shouldn't say coin. No, it's a coin. Right, so you spend 100 coins for a pack, right? I'm like, okay, I spent $1 on a pack. And this is just theoreticals, right? Cool. Like, I like that valuation. I've earned these coins. I'm going to spend 100 of them. I'm going to get a pack. Great. And then, of course, you can buy packs with money, right? And I'm pretty sure the smallest is like, I don't want to say it's like two packs for $3. I'm not,
yep,
sure.
That's but what it
basically,
is.
Yeah, two packs for $3. I'm like, okay, so that means each pack's worth $1.50. I'm probably not going to do that. But like, that's still like a reasonable valuation. If that's what Blizzard values a pack at its peak is $1.50. Okay, cool, right? Mm-hmm. You're a business. This is what it costs in the game. Cool. I'm not going to complain about that at all. You know, and then you get down even to the bigger, where you're, you know, getting like 60 packs for $70 or whatever. And that's like $1.20 per pack, right? I mean, and that's just how bulk works, right? You buy stuff in bulk, it costs less. Cool. I'm here for that as well. Then to your point, I mean, I think it was Jaina in my store. I was like, you want me to pay $15 $15 for a what? For a legendary? No. No, I'm not going to do that, especially because, and my problem is that I want to buy the things. I would like to give Blizzard monies. That's what I want to do. I've been doing that since 2015. I would like to give them monies. And the only thing in the shop right now that I have seen that was even slightly worth it was the Legendary Mercenary Bundle, because it was like 30 packs plus two legendaries for $30, right? And I was like, okay, cool. So at my personal valuation of $1 a pack, I'm getting that at $1 a pack plus two legendaries, which based off of your single legendary valuation at $15 a legendary, I'm getting $60 worth of stuff for $30. And that's kind of insane. But then I looked at the prices of everything else. You know, I was like 300 rag coins, $10. And I was like, now I don't want to buy anything, because if I don't buy the legendary mercenary bundle, if I buy anything else, I'm now mad or sad or down money. So I did not buy the bundle.
It's so weird because this kind of gives me flashbacks of like chasing rares and paper card games like Magic. And that's such a different thing, because when Wizards of the Coast prints a set, they only print X number of rares and mythics. They just don't exist. Like there's, you know, I don't know what the number is, but say there's, you know, 1,000 mythic rares of a particular card in all of existence. I can't duplicate that card in any way. Like I have to physically find a copy and pay someone for it. And that's where the value comes from in those kind of chase situations. You're right. There is actually a limited supply. So that's what drives up the value of a card. This is a digital card game. There's no printing. Like Blizzard has infinite Gul'dans and infinite Jainas. There is no rarity. So the value of the chase is not there. It's not present. There's no limited supply of these things. So what is the value of me paying a premium price for a card that I could conceivably just grind out with game time? Like I can just go get Gul'dan coins by doing stuff in the game. Why am I, you know, so I guess it's, you know, appealing to people with the disposable income who just like, oh, hey, I bet you really like Gul'dan. Would you like to pay money for it? Like if they flashed me Gul'dan for like $4, $3, maybe I'd think about it. But for 15, no, that because as soon as I look at the number of legendaries in the collection, it's what, I don't know how many there are, maybe 15 right now, 10, 15, 12. I don't know. But like, that times your Blizzard's valuation of $15 each, you know, you're talking about $100+, $200+ for a non-existent product. Like, I get that there's money to be spent in order to provide a service, right? Like, we want to give, like Simba said, we want to give them money. We want to support the game, but I don't think this is the way it is. Now, that said, what I think this is them, you know, kind of pricing the market. They're like, okay, let's put this up for like a really ridiculously high amount and see how many people buy it. And if not enough people buy it, price comes down. If a lot of people buy it at 15 and then they keep it at 15, you know, because they know they're going to make their money. So I would be surprised if this stayed at the level that it is. Unless people are just like gobbling up these singles for $15. I imagine that as people kind of get price shocked, the price is going to come down over time, I think.
I can see that. I wouldn't be mad at that. That wouldn't be, you know, a terrible thing. Because feeling out the market is a real thing, right? And people control the market in every market. And a lot of people don't understand that, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's not taught or not understood. And so, yeah, if everybody collectively decides that $15 is too much, there's really nothing to be mad at. You know what I mean? Like, I had a little frustrated feeling, but if I'm like, no, I don't want to buy this for 15, and everybody else goes, no, I don't want to buy this for 15, then we all just do our merry little thing, whether that's playing Mercenaries Battleground Standard or another game, and then Blizzard looks at it and goes, okay, like you said, we drop the price, and then the people can, you know, decide again. Like, there's really nothing that we can do or be mad at, maybe disappointed, like look at it and like, oh, you really thought we were gonna buy that for 15? No. Silly, that's not correct. Like,
y'all. You got, we got you. That's okay. We're not gonna, yeah. Like, I feel the same way too, though. I feel like the bundles have been very reasonable. You're getting a bunch of packs for, you know, relatively good value. You're getting legendaries on the side. For me, I ended up, like, I will be straightforward. I mean, I also have the benefit of, since this is my job right now, this is what I'm doing, all of these are going to be a tax write-off. At least that's, you know, how others say it works, and I'm hoping that's how it works. But, you know, so I went in, I got the all of the pre-orders. I got that $5 welcome bundle. I got the, like, $20 one, and then I saw the $30 one. And for me at that point, that the $30 one that had, like, it was what, 30 packs? Is that right? 30 packs and then two legendaries?
Yeah, for $30.
I only needed two more legendaries. So for me, I was like, cool. I will spend this $30. I will get those two legendaries and 30 packs. So I got basically 30 packs, and I knew which two legendaries I'm getting. But I saw one of those legendaries in the shop for 15. I'm like, no. But I'll get the 30 packs on top of that, which, of course, I opened them the morning of them announcing there's going to be five more mercenaries. So I was like, oh, I should have not opened those 30 packs. I should have waited until the new patch drops next week and then opened, and hopefully I could have gotten at least one of the new mercs. But, you know, that is what it is. But, yeah, everything, like, to me, the bundles that they've put out have been great. It's the individual stuff or the specialized stuff that's been like, I don't know about that. That does not seem like a good value to me, for sure.
Yeah, I guess we just move forward and don't buy them. It felt like they didn't think I could do math. That's what it felt like. You know what I mean? Like, you know when people sell stuff, right? You go into the store and it's like 1 for 3, 2 for 5, or like someone will put out like 1 for 3, 2 for 6, and you just look at it and you're like, it's the same. What? You know? Or someone will be like 1 for 5, 2 for 11. And you're like, you think I cannot add? Like, that. That's how I felt. Like,
if you spend $20 more, you can get your $5 shipping for free.
Yeah, wow, like, that's no.
Basic subtraction. Okay.
And then again, like, maybe we aren't the target audience for those individualized products. Like, I would not consider myself a whale in the market as the parlance goes. I'm not the person who dumps hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a digital card game, digital, you know, or mobile game or whatever. Because I know these people exist. I mean, I've seen stories of people who spend thousands of dollars willingly on, like, mobile games and gacha games, and I'm like, how? Not just why, but how? How do you play a game and decide, I'm gonna drop like 2 G's on this game? Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Like, no. So maybe, but those people do exist, you know. So maybe we're not them. Like, we're not the people who are gonna buy the $15 Gul'dans. But maybe they'll sell enough of those that justifies their existence. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe you know what? Let's just get Deck Tech on the podcast. We'll come on, Nick, get over here. Let's let's get the inside baseball on this. I want to know what the thought process was behind the $15 single Legos.
Yeah, because my very last thought on it was that the people that are probably buying, specifically in the Hearthstone market, a $15 legendary, probably already have them all. Like, if you purchased all 3 pre-order packs and then potentially the, you know, legendary merc bundle or one of the bundles that came out early on, like, there's a good chance that you have all of, or close to all of, with potentially all of the portraits, just based on how much you put into it pre-release, so that you had stuff for content, for grinding, you know, for expressing to everybody else, like, this is what the mode is like, right? There's tons of reasons why you would want all this stuff early. It's like, okay, well, you know, you spent, I don't even know what all 3 of the pre-order bundles together cost, but, like, probably was worth it, because that was a guaranteed at least 3 legendaries minimum, right? You got the Diablo, the Sylvanas, and then one more. And then you're obviously guaranteed a legendary within your first, like, 10 or 15 packs, so there's another one. And then you had, you know, 150 packs to go off of, and then you get the welcome pack, right? So the people that are spending that much money, like, have the money to do $15 legendaries, probably already have them all.
Yeah,
or can get 2 plus 30 packs for $30.
Yep. I guess we'll see. We'll see how long those quote unquote deals last in the store.
Yes, definitely. It It's definitely been something that I feel like a lot of people have been talking about. It's been a hot thing, you know, especially because the mode is so new and it feels like they've thrown a lot of bundles, a lot of sales, you know, a lot of stuff in the shop. And I also feel like overall for probably the majority of Hearthstone players, the experience overall of just here's all these bundles with this new mode that you haven't even played yet, like just the experience overall of that is very jarring. So I think a lot of people were just like, oh my God, like I haven't even played this and you're already like throwing bundles and all this stuff down my throat. Like, what is this? I so then the tendency, right, is just to look at that and be like, oh, it's just a money grab. It's just this, it's just that. And instead of like actually getting to try it out, you know, do that stuff. Cause again, you know, like if we're just looking at this, my experience is they put Battlegrounds out as a beta thing for so long. They also finally put in, you know, these bundles that we're now starting to see for Battlegrounds with like the cosmetics that people were asking for from very early on. But with Mercenaries, it was almost like the flip, right? Like they started giving all these things before people knew what it was or before people got a chance to even try it to ask what they wanted or say what they wanted from it. So it, I think for a lot of people, it feels very like just, oh, here's this thing that you said you wanted in this other mode, so we're just going to give it to you now. But it's like, well, hold on. That's is that what we want? Like, I don't know yet. We haven't gotten to play it. Hold on a second. So it's kind of felt like a very interesting experience overall, just seeing Mercenaries, seeing all the bundle stuff, the like you're saying, the, you know, correlation of how much time you're spending versus how much money you're spending versus how much they're valuing things at. And it's just kind of a weird thing that we're all collectively experiencing. And I don't know if anybody necessarily knows what the best or right thing is right now, but like you said, we're gonna see over time, we're gonna get to see, do they drop those prices of things, do they adjust stuff, what do they say in the communication things, how do they adjust things over time going forward, how popular does Mercenaries get or stay. It's all up in the air right now, I feel like.
And you know, Blizzard is very good at making games sustainable. That is kind of their business model, right? Like games as a service. You know, Hearthstone is still being played by a significant amount of people. Battlegrounds is still quite popular, you know. So I think Mercenaries is not a flash in the pan for them. I think the plan is for this to be another sustainable game mode that they can rely on, you know, consistent play content from players. And if they see that falling off, they're going to do something to draw people back in. So I think everything is weird right now because it's all in a state of flux. People, you know, there was the initial rush and now there's, you know, the initial bad reactions coming out and the hot takes and the sticker shocks in the store. And, you know, everything's in a state of flux because it hasn't figured itself out. And Blizzard's Team 5 is still in the process of finding the right path for Mercenaries going forward now that it's in general release.
All right. Any closing thoughts before we start to wrap it up for today? Anything else that you had in your like notes that you wanted to mention, Simba?
No, I think that was pretty much it. And it didn't really change much, but I wasn't aware of the new Mercenaries when I wrote this list down. So I think that'll be super interesting to see how that pans out. You know, are we going to be getting the new Mercenaries in the pool in a couple packs? Probably not, but, you know, that could be a thing. I'm interested to see what they talk about. Like, I would really like to not necessarily be at their meeting, but, like, I want to know what they talk about. Because, like, I don't know, just as a gamer in general, cosmetics are, like, I don't want to say my least favorite part of the game, because that's sort of sometimes how you know, jazz up your experience and set yourself apart from other players. But like, I remember in Fortnite for a while, you know, there became so many, I know Fortnite's a random thing to bring up, but there are so many, you know, little costumes and things that if you ran into what they would call a no skin, like everybody was like, oh, be scared of a no skin. Like that person is serious. You know, like they went in, queued up and jumped in, you know, I've played Rocket League since like 2014, 2015 as well. You know, and there's tons of car combinations and stuff, but you run into someone playing 1v1 with a traditional stock Octane with two racing stripes down, you're like, oh shit, this guy's not here to have fun.
They're try hard.
Yeah. But like cosmetics is like the least important thing. Like the most important thing to me in any game is being able to actually play the game, no stops. Like at every single point, I want to be able to play it, right? If you were like, oh, I'm going to give you 50 mercenaries and they only have one portrait, I would not care at all. That'd be amazing. Why? Because I get 50 mercenaries and I get to have them all. And I mean, if I went through all my portraits, I probably have enough portraits to make 70 mercenaries, you know, that I opened up. And cosmetics are a cool thing to have. But like even in the beginning of Hearthstone, right? You just had normal Thrall and normal Gul'dan and everybody, you know, you play with your cards. And that's what I want. I want to be able to just play mercenaries to its fullest. And if we're going to have to grind levels from 0 to 30 every time, who cares, right? Like that's the game mode. That's part of the game mode. You've made the game mode as such, but I want to be able to play it with all the characters.
Yeah. And just to key off of that for my final thought here, like I would have been less troubled about those like single Lego offerings in the store if they were for cosmetics. You know, like if it was buy all the Gul'dan alternate skins for $5. I'd been like, okay, sure. Like if somebody's really into Gul'dan, that's great. Like buy all the Jaina skins for $5 or even $10, whatever it is. You know, if it's purely for cosmetics, I think putting a price tag on that makes sense because game content for games like this need to be accessible for everyone, whether or not they spend money. You can spend the money to accelerate the process, or you can spend the time in the game. And right now with the whole problem with no duplicate protection, because you're getting, you know, alternate skins instead of new legendaries, there's an issue with legend, you know, filling out your collection, not being an accessible thing for players who aren't spending money. So for them to put a sticker on filling out a collection or getting a Lego you can't pull because the system was designed for you to not be able to pull it, that feels bad. So if that could be rectified, and leave the monetary exchanges for the cosmetics, I would feel better about it for sure.
Yep. I completely agree. And I'm sure all three of us are in agreement though, so especially, you know, we're doing this podcast every week, right? Regardless of the money aspect, we all love this game mode. And this is why we're talking about this, right? This is why we're bringing this up. Like, we love this game mode. There's things we love about it. Some of the monetary things, maybe we're like, this is very questionable, or we don't really like it. We don't like some of the things, but you know, the game mode is something that we enjoy. We want to see that longevity with it. So, you know, I'm especially intrigued. I really, really hope that next week when they say that big communication thing is coming out, I really hope it is big. I hope we get a lot of different communication points. I hope there's some really good stuff in there. And I think in terms of my wrap up, I think that's what I'm really looking forward to. I hope we get a lot of different info. We really kind of get an understanding of where their minds are at in terms of where the game mode's going, what they want to do, and also that they're listening to the community, which I think they have been so far. So I really would like to see that, and hopefully it comes out before we record next week so we can cover everything that they talk about in that. You know, I have enough podcasting experience. I feel like it'll probably come out the day after we're finished recording. So, you know.
Yeah, that's how it
we'll
works.
See. It's the podcasting and news timeline is always wonky for people. But yeah, I think that is going to wrap it up. You know, in terms of anything else that we've got going on, that was kind of our main topic. Tournaments, same thing that I mentioned last week. There's some stuff going on. You can check back on those. Look at the show notes for links to all that. But otherwise, anything else that you guys want to mention before we close it out? All right. Well, I think for this week, that is going to do it from us. So thank you for listening. If you want to find more info on the show, you can find us on YouTube, everywhere you can find audio podcasts, and on Twitter at Spirit Healer Pod. You can also email us at spirithealerpodcast@gmail.com. And please join us in our discussions, talking everything, news, changes, all of that fun stuff in our Discord, which you can also find that Discord link on our Twitter page as well. And we want to thank Purple Cat for the use of the amazing music we use for the show. And to find more from each of us, you can find me on Twitter at Donnie DK, that's DAWNIE, Twitch, YouTube, all of that at DragonRiderDK. And Cinder, where can we find more from you?
Hit that Twitter, please. It's at Cinder Ascendant. I'll have news on my career path probably next week. We had the big interview this past yesterday actually, with like half the department at where I've been talking to. So we'll see. But could be big news. Could be a nothing burger. We'll see.
Well, we wish you good luck. We're looking forward to some good news, hopefully. And Simba, where can we find you? And please make sure that you plug your YouTube, because you were talking about videos. We're going to get Simba YouTube soon. Yay.
Oh, yeah. Simba TV _ SIIMBA TV _ on everything. First YouTube video for Mercenary specifically is going to be coming out within the next couple days. It's everything that I found is the best throughout the first, you know, 2 weeks of Mercenaries, and I want to be very clear, the best. I know we talked about some of the downfalls and the confusions today, but it's a really good game mode. I've found out a lot of good things, good comps, and I'm very excited. So I'll have the official YouTube video and link up way before our next meeting this upcoming week. Hopefully we'll have more information. If you guys want to know anything or see anything or have any YouTube videos made, Hearthstone Mercenaries, Standard, Battlegrounds, or otherwise, feel free to let me know on any social media or in my Discord, which can be found below my Twitch channel.
Yes, absolutely. And hopefully we can get you very quickly up to 100 subscribers on YouTube, and then you get that sweet custom, you know, YouTube. So it's not just like youtube.com/jarble. It'll actually be like youtube.com/SimbaTV.
youtube.com/gerbil.
Yeah.
No. You heard it here first.
So,
but it'll be gerbil with two eyes, right?
Guaranteed.
That's right. Well, thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in. And thank you for choosing us as your resting place of choice. We'll see you all next week.